tonight's working. Thank you very much again for coming in at a little bit early just to allow the group to speak. Have we any apologies down for today's meeting?
No.
Okay. Could I just ask all members of the public that whenever you are in this council chamber that you remain seated at all times. Members of the public must refrain from taking photos, photography or using recording devices. No placards, banners are permitted in the chamber. You know, that you would leave the chamber in an orderly manner whenever you're leaving. Okay, we will move on with the main ERT agenda today. And have we any declarations of interest? No declarations of interest, okay. Item 3 is the action sheet. From our previous meeting, has everybody had an opportunity to have a little look through that? Yeah, and everyone is happy with what they have read. Nothing jumping out at anybody for any concern. Okay, we move on to the next items. Enterprise, employment, and regeneration items, and these are all going to be taken by Jonathan. Item 4 is Yes You Can, Women in Business. Jonathan, would you like to read us through that? Oh, sorry,
This is just basically an update as to where we are with the council support for the Northern Ireland Women in Business Program, which is co-funded by the FDNI and the 11 councils. Year 1 completed, and we're going to review progress after the wonderful commitment year 2. There's the details of the outputs are presented there, and the recommendation is that we continue at a cost of contributions
to the
Okay, councillors, anyone? Gary and Terry?
Yeah, sure. I'll be the proposer. Still, the fact is that women are underrepresented within startup and overall, four, three males to female, which, as you know, sure, still way off the population. So there's work to be done here. I mean, there's been, you know, I do think it's not, it shouldn't be tokenism, sure, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. And, I mean, you know, to see the day where a lot of great female entrepreneurs out there, but we need a lot more of them, sure. Thank you.
Okay, so proposed by Councillor Stokes, Terry, seconded by Terry Andrews. Have we any other comments? I know I think in general everyone is supportive of this, so we're happy to move on. Okay. Item 5 is Warm Point Marina. Again, Jonathan, if you just lead us through that.
Chair, I need to concern. There's nothing that's been on the board.
In Warm Point, yeah. You did. That was what the declaration of interest was like at the start, didn't you? Henry, behave yourself. That's okay. We will note your conflict of interest. That's absolutely no problem whatsoever. We appreciate that greatly. Jonathan, do you want to lead us through that item?
Sure, yeah. The council's planning application for the Marina at Warren Pike has expired. Surely the pre-application notice was submitted. So in terms of reviewing the application, we'll get a fair bit of work required in terms of revisiting the studies and probably updating as environmental issues may have changed and maybe additional requirements in terms of additional studies. So in terms of the paper outlines, the various dates that we have to go through, we'll back to the original application when it was made. The funding was, funding applications made by SUPD. There was an issue highlighted at the time in terms of the displacement from other marinas, and that still hasn't been addressed. So in terms of the recommendation moving forward, at this point we are saying at the first stage, we would be recommending the council that we revisit the business case, the economic appraisal, and explore what other funding sources are out there, because as it stands at the moment, those funding sources that were in there previously are no longer there, and obviously going to go into the detail of Brexit, but EU programs changing as well, so that may have an issue. So the recommendations are to revisit the business case at this stage, revisit the costings, and try to address the issue of displacement before we go down and bring that back to council before we incur the full costs of reviewing the planning application. We're not saying that this is not to do that, but there's a stage one to revisit the business case there.
Okay.
And the cost of 15 to 20 cares for the bigger for this initiative.
Councillor Ryan?
Yeah, sure, I'd be happy to answer the public. I think at this stage, we should keep our options open in relation to the marina. I'm not so sure that the initial project that we were going with the numbers talked about maybe is realistic. And, you know, all that was all those that you came into account and we got that project. I do think it is something that. You know, the development of the sea pump more, I think it's something that council should be looking towards, and I think this could be part of that there, and yeah, absolutely, for option.
Okay. Councillor McHugh?
Yeah, sure. I would like to answer the last proposal, and I'd say so as well, just to elaborate a bit on just that, maybe in the context of the sea council, the joint council committee, but now the one where we're talking about development charge of luck, as a tourism entity and a sports sort of centre, maybe this will, you know, fit into this more than the two things come together. Any issues about duplication before or displacement may come to some conclusion as well, which would be very welcome as well. But I suppose the biggest thing is funding, where that's coming, but very much has to be kept alive.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
Okay. And again, I think we have all identified carbons and lots as a potential for major tourism and investment. So, yeah. Okay, everybody else happy to move on. Item 6 then is the International Relations Forum. I know the Britain has met a number of times and brought a number of proposals forward to it. Again, Jonathan, if you want to lead us through it.
Chair, yes, the International Relations Forum has been working on this for the last couple of meetings, Chair. What's presented today is a final draft of the International Relations Strategy, and this details how the Council will, moving forward, engage with developing linkages outside of Northern Ireland, be that for economic development, tourism, education, culture, sports and heritage linkages. So there's a very detailed strategy or policy there that we would be recommending the Council adopt. This was table a couple of meetings and amendments have been made as we went along with the forum, so this is the standard version. Sure.
Okay, we have Councillor Ruan, McAteer and Andrew's question space. Councillor Ruan.
Yeah, Chairman, it's one of the small number of councillors on the committee that have looked at this. As I would propose that we go ahead with what's in front of us. It is really it's really just giving council guidance in relation to any requests that come in for funding operations or funding between the two different areas, and those that we haven't yet at this moment in time that we're actually looking at it's truly really just our official guidance when that particular application comes in or request. And I think it keeps us as councillors right as well, that we know exactly what council we hope to get out of it, and it's about, I think equally important is that it's carrying in a similar organisation to ourselves, wherever that may be, that they're playing a whole part in relation to that.
Okay, so proposed by
Councillor Ryan, Councillor McAteer. Yeah, and the end point, Councillor Ryan, change that and worry about it.
We are
going to
worry.
You're
not voting
the same way
again.
No, I'm very very encouraged with the men's comments in it. Most of the members on that committee are putting that together. Anything, you know, that just going directly what we were talking about from the set, just at the beginning of this new council, we're talking about meaningful relationship, not saying outside times between the such and such. I've always been a good believer in direct, have to be economic reasons for doing so, and viable and verifiable economic reasons for spending money on these things. And I do think that the direction that is indicated here is really encouraging in terms of international relations strategy, and you know, hopefully we'll be able to bring it to some sort of provision for a much distant future.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Andrew. Sorry, Henry, did you also, sorry, your next one now? Yes, Councillor Andrew, go ahead.
I'm wondering, but
COVID. It doesn't matter.
Henry, are you okay with that, Henry? And just the news is trying to get his leg on the fucking coming on. You're let up now, Henry, so we'll get you the door now.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Yeah, I wish for the strategy as well, probably, and it's the way forward. Chairman, just on that, whenever we were talking about conceal in County Cork and Avalon, trying because of the Lusitania connection, we were told we couldn't do anything until this policy was agreed, so hopefully we will be able to push something forward. I don't know if they'll still want to try and now that they've got the data from the Lusitania down there. But
we have several invitations.
But hopefully,
there'll
be some people there.
Okay, appreciate that. I'm really
sorry to hear that. First of all, I do welcome the paper, and I do speak, of course, Alex Pierce, but 30 months ago, I represented the council and Lambert Lane, late patron of the council voices, and the chief group in the Warren New Tunnel Group. I've been engaged with Lambert Lane, and I think it sends out a powerful message. So I know we were over to Lambert Lane, and I think in some public state, some of the visitors, some of the residents of Lambert Lane come over to our district. But it is important to be engaged and to reinforce funding and other opportunities, which I think are vital important. Sure.
Dr. McAteer, dear fellow. I'm going to give you the issues go down from if you were around. I'm sure you come to agree that you were happy to say.
Right, yeah.
Is that okay? I assume that was what your intention was for giving you your question. Everyone else is happy. We move on then to the item, I think you said to you, actually, it wasn't a compliment, yet. Item 7 is the EU Culture Cooperation Programme, and this refers directly to Ireland's Bullion, which of course is the area that I represent as well. So, Jonathan, do you want to just lead us through that?
So, this is really a request to explore an application with partners in Mayo and Norway around under the Creative Europe Programme, a cultural resource programme, trying to explore issues with the opportunity to develop around co-production around music, song, poetry, language, or literature, etc. So it's really at that point an exploratory discussion with the partners to develop an application. No cost implications there, but you can see what the cost implications could be. Should the application be successful, that will come back to the council for consideration. If the application is successful, which I would recommend that we work up the application with the partners at this stage.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I don't want to propose that, but can we have any comments or proposer and seconder from the main committee? Item 8, Polly, is the variation fee for place approval of civil marriages and civil partnerships. Do you want to talk us through that?
Thank you, Chair. Is that
can you just turn your
video
for me for a minute? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Members, all identification process applications for premises to conduct several marriages and several partnerships. And these licenses, relating these premises on a 3-year basis. However, from time to time, the licensee request amendments to the license and the add-on rooms and various other venues that we have to go out and check and review our license. So our license staff basically review the terms and conditions and then we will issue a license in due course. So we charge variation license for other types of license that we issue, particularly the license entertainment license where we have to maybe amend one day through the season or something of that nature. We charge up to £50 for that. And what I'm taking permission tonight is to do the same to issue a £50 fee for the variation of a license for the civil partnerships and civil marriages. and that fee would be based on a 3-year basis, and we would do that in 3 years.
Okay, Colin, thank you. Councillor Hanbury?
So proposed.
Can we have a seconder? Councillor Hanlon, are you happy to second? Are you on any comment? Just happy to second? And everyone is in agreement and understands that proposal. Okay, thank you. Item 9 then is closing orders, and again, this is one of yours, colleagues.
Yeah, thank you, Chair.
Sure.
The council received various complaints from local residents in relation to the late opening hours and antisocial behaviour around the premises for the Bay of Bengal to take away and consume. Now, ways of council may have powers to issue closing orders if we receive complaints in relation to noise or antisocial behaviour in relation to these types of premises. In this case, our licensing staff carried out monitoring of the premises in the early hours of the morning. And they've gone down on a few occasions around about maybe 12:30 in the morning and stayed there maybe 2:00 in the morning and observed disturbances, noise and general antisocial behaviour. They have produced some witness statements and have added them into the back of your report for your reference. The owner of the premises has been made aware of the complaints being received, but over the last year he hasn't addressed the complaints at all. So as such, I'm seeking permission to issue a closing order to close the premises down to 12 midnight each night. And as a council, what we must do, we must make our intentions known to the owner and give them the opportunity to make representation here before the committee if he wishes to appeal the decision. So if he does not wish to respond to the notice, we can go ahead and issue the closing order, and he will be there for expected to close to 12:00 in the night. But as I say, if he wishes to appeal that, then we would have to conduct a hearing. So I'm seeking your permission tonight to issue our intention to make a closing order and proceed with hearing in due course if we need to do so.
Okay, thank you, colleague.
Glenn,
you
sure.
Know
the initiative of Jonathan? Sure, I'm happy to propose that this premises has been creating a nuisance for some considerable time. And if they've been offered the opportunity, you should have taken action at least 6 months ago to a year, so I'm happy to propose that we move ahead.
Okay, thank you, Glenn. Thanks for my question here. Okay. And everyone else is happy enough, there's no other comments. Okay. We move on then to the tourism program, item 10, for tourism events program, which is there, and there is some detail as to what it may look like. This is hopefully that as we move through the rates process that there will be nobody clamouring to get a cut, but that is the recommendation for events and how they will look in the year 2021. So any comments? Anybody happy to propose or second? Sorry, Andy, want to talk us through it? Andy?
Just to set out, Chair, the events program is included there in the paper for the next financial year. So members will be aware that we undertook a review of the events program. There's a number of workshops which councillors were involved in over the summer. And we're really looking at the program to date, the events program, and how we can grow it and how we can support the events industry here in the district. So the paper sets out key findings of the review and sets out proposals for the events plan for next year, and this includes introducing a new support program for the events sector, expanding our flagship events and supporting several key group events and developing their size and economic impact. And so as the Chair said, the full details are set out in the paper.
Okay, thank you very much. Gary, if you don't mind, I'm going to let them in first. You did indicate beforehand. I'm trying to defer to everything, so we have to have Councillor McAteer, Councillor Stokes coming in first and second, and then we'll look at anybody else. Sorry, in German, I think as well. Councillor McAteer. Are you happy?
Just on the new proposals, you know, just a bit more of a detail, I mean, it talks about 50 there, but exactly what will happen here, I know it's not really close, so it's still 20 minutes. So, for example, the food and bread for this, what actually will we do, and how will that get administered?
Yes, of course, on the food and drink proposal through chair, we're looking at going out and we tested a new approach to providing food and drink at the festival of light this year, for example. So we provided a lot of local produce provenance, and really what we'd be looking to do is to expand that through our tourism events this year. So going out to secure a provider that can help us deliver that. The Taste the Island initiative is ongoing at the moment, and some of the members have already seen it being advertised on the TV North and South. It's a very big push for tourism Ireland and Northern Ireland, so the provision of food and drink at festivals and events is a very big thing in big business, and can bring in a lot of economic impact. And really that proposal there is looking to make the most of that, and to make the most of the great problems that we have in the district.
So we just want to do some exit this and focus on excellent being tricked. But it was just looking at the events that are on, right? And I know there's emphasis on the fact that there are, you know, family affairs, you know. That's fine, but I think we need to maybe take it further than that and just expand, for example, you know, the great design. They have to be more just a family. If it's family viewing only at local families within a reasonable radius of the town, concerned. So I just would like maybe more for the thing on that one on the best, right? I thought they did the hard persons sort of thing before. So I think being some more sort of creative thinking around that as well. About the content of the air show, you know, and we mentioned before, you know, no bad cost for the money, but doesn't mean to keep a presence about it, you know.
I think there has been a variation in the budget which would reflect that better. Is that fair, Andy?
Absolutely. We'd look to increase the budget for next year. One is to introduce science, technology, engineering, math, STEM subjects to the festival of light. And in the family audience, I suppose that's been highlighted because that's the main drive of our events. I suppose today has been a big family orientation. What we're looking to do is really grow those flagship events in the next financial year to bring in more of an international audience, and that would result in more economic impact to the district.
Yes, and councillors, I'm sorry our list system is antiquated here. I have got a list of councillors that want to speak. I have Larry Councillor Swoop, Corinne and McMurray next. So I will get you, but could I ask you not to put your lights on just till I call you? Councillor Stokes.
Thank you, Chair. Sure, it's a lot of things in terms of the growth and festivals, but we're going to actually talk to the groups for delivering something and providing us, you know, that we're going to, you know, reinvent the wheel. I know I helped out back in September, sure, your last festival, very successful. Council were having a ball in that, supporting that. So, you know, where we have existing groups, you know, we can work with them, work with people that are running events already, you know, and let's do that, sir. So that would be an option. Do you propose a second or
second? Okay, so, Councillor Stokes, I'm taking you as proposal. Councillor Carden?
Well, the this program and the development is the best thing to do. As we go up and talk about this area, so it is, and we've got a lot of interesting golf courses here. Just where are those tournaments being held here in the two that they have here?
There's two events proposed for next year that we've run the past two financial years. One is the Golf Summer Trophy, and one is the Golf Junior Trophy. They have tended to circulate around the parkland courses of the district, with the final of those events being held in Royal County Island. So we're working closely with the golf courses and golf clubs at the minute to determine which courses are actually going to be used next year. But essentially, we circulate them around the main parkland courses, and we can provide more detail once the project's set and the events are agreed.
And finally, kind of the reflected, you know, what we need to go on the course is the federal thing that you're looking for, probably in relation to reflection or how that is reflected. My thinking about, maybe a step from a depth point of view, my thinking about the Glasgow for, you know, it's a matter of fact about environment and things. And the number of people are coming to that course now, but they're quite big, have a little hotel there to accommodate them.
I mean, just for the chief, just to keep everything right, because we have a problem with the lights, basically what Councillor Curran is asking is how the golf courses are selected in terms of what they're proposed to them. So Andy, if you just want to answer that now.
We would work very closely with all the professionals and the secretaries at the golf clubs. Really, it's based upon the availability of the courses that we need, and it's really then the clubs themselves that want to be involved. So, our class, for example, this year was involved in the competitions, and we had very good feedback from the visitors coming in with our class here. So, we hope that we can work with all Vaughan and the team there next year as well to ensure it's on the roster. But really, it's working closely with the clubs and making sure that we can use the available space once there.
Okay,
Councillor
McMurray. Henry, turn your light out. Have you asked your minister of quality? Nice to meet you.
Thank you, Sarah, Mr. Thompson. Just wondering, how to read through, and I see there's the green golf tourism, and then there's activity tourism events. Is activity tourism, is that golf events, or is that playing in more to sort of the outdoor capital of Ireland? And again, don't have to encourage any specifically towards golfers, but other outdoor events, can you use the green golf? There's a little bit more skyline with the attracts international visitors, there's mountain bike events throughout the district that attract international visitors, and there's a number of outdoor recreation events that attract visitors. It's just great, thank you.
In previous years, I suppose we would have run our own cycle sporting, for example, or our own walking festivals, but what we found in last financial year in particular, that there is more and more activity providers that are putting on their own events, and really our events are essentially going to be competing with them. So it's really through the financial assistance program that we would be encouraging activity tourism event promoters to apply for the financial assistance program, and we can offer support to those providers, and we have done in the recent financial years, and those events are very successful in their own right.
So that would be the opportunity then to attract the providers to yourselves, and would be specific to spoke workshops for activity providers. Is that something that worth bearing in mind, or maybe put together, maybe just on account of the growing industry, you know?
The National Assistance Program opened last week, and it's open now until the start of December. We're actively pushing activity tourism providers to apply and encouraging them, and there's workshops in the next couple of weeks for that financial assistance program, so providers can go along to those.
Okay, I now have Councillor Clark, Ruan, Riley, and Hannah. Councillor Clark.
Right, thanks, Chair. I suppose to start by, I think it's important to say that this is a real good news story, and it's a real commitment from the council in our tourism product. But also groups delivering festivals for us as well. 1.2 million is some investment right across the district. So I think that has to do with the record. A lot of work has went into developing these programs or this project. In regard to the Festival of Light, we envisioned in a Stan village as part of this festival and growing it, because when we went across the water, we noticed a number of STEM components to the festivals and flight shows across the water. And there's a real interest for families and also young people, and stimulating them to get involved, in engineering and taking up the STEM subjects. It's the first point, Andy. And another point is regards to the week of Jan. Are we envisaging then We talked about it before, about the grow on that festival. I see the fun happening. Are we looking at it another chance? Are we going to develop along the line that we have discussed in workshops? And the last point is in regards to the forest parts of it. I've noticed that Tollymore is not part of the Forest Parks event, and I just think there's an opportunity in Tollymore Forest Park, particularly with the Game of Thrones component, where a lot of the film was from. I think there should be a small amount of funding made available for a festival that could be placed in around Game of Thrones and also placed in around our food and drink offerings. We could have a food and drink village as part of the festival of music. But appreciating the outdoors, but appreciating the forest part itself and what it means to people. It gets huge numbers of visitors coming from the forest part, and I just think we need to be doing something to add to that experience.
Okay. If you take those in order, Chair. Looking at the STEM element of Bethel site, yeah, it's very much further research, including credit to this Delaware show. So, given that the Bethel flight is now within term time, really we're looking at the same weekend next financial year around in June, it's going to be an important element with an education side of it. So, we'll be looking to work with local school groups, looking to bring in that STEM element and to have like a STEM village at the show. So very much in keeping with the way other shows have grown in different areas previously. With regards to Wake the Giant, yes, we're looking to expand the story. So that could involve additional characters and expansion of the very successful parade through Warren Point and really to develop that storyline. We've been waiting the giant for a wee while now, so we're going to move on to the next stage of it. And then with regards to the main challenge or opportunity, I suppose, is we have operational management control of Kilbrony and the Tree Crown. And that's what we install our own events. So I think with Tollymore still being within management responsibility of the Forest Service, we've got a wee bit to go there, so we're supporting through different lease agreements and license agreements. So hopefully in the future, yeah, Tollymore will be one of the key parts that we can come to events on. Yeah.
Okay, Andy, now we have Councillors Ruan, Riley, Hannah and Andrew, so hopefully they're not moved. Yes, Councillor Ruan.
Thanks, Chair. I think similar to what Billy started off, I think when you look at the minutes in front of us, it's impressive. You know, if you think back to when this council first started up just over 4 years ago, a lot of those deaths were not even considered, you know, and I think it has to be acknowledged that our staff come up with those festival ideas for them, and I have to say they've been really successful. Unfortunately, last year we had the opportunity to put more money in the budget to, you know, to increase what we were doing. We didn't take that opportunity, and I think this year we can see that. How it's working out, but there's no doubt you've put some Wake the Giant and Warren Point on the festival. For your part of it, which proved really successful this year, and I think you could see yourself on the end of the book, you have it. Anybody who's down in town at that particular time, that you know, with a bit of an imagination, how you could improve it dramatically and make it a huge hit, could be even bigger than the Wake the Giant part of it. In all honesty. But I think, and again, looking at the festivals, they are district wide. I think that's important. The other side of it is the amount of money that is given out to the community volunteer festivals as well. I think in total, I mean, we've created 230 festivals and companies throughout the district for events. That's colossal. Mm-hmm. And I know, having spoken to an event last week with the Louth County Council, you'd be amazed at the amount of money that we actually as a council put into the festival. So I think we have to commend ourselves to it, and think about what we do on our staff in particular, and the effort we're paying to do it.
And again, just if anybody can any doubt, I know this was something that we had said away 5 years ago when we were meeting for the first time, so this was something that we wanted to really work on. And I mean, at this stage, you know, the local businesses and hotels, restaurants, bars, shops, etc. in this district, for every £5 that is being spent, they're getting more than 10 to 1 back, which is a phenomenal success, and it's something that, you know, a huge amount of work has gone into. But thank you for that, Councillor Reynolds.
Thanks, Councillor. Yeah. It is a big investment. I still have a concern that a big town like Tokyo does seem to be losing out very much. And there is this aspect of culture, Scotch or Scotch Irish or Ullins, whatever you want to describe that culture and tradition as. And what has happened down there on the 11th night festival, that week long festival, it is absolutely incredible. The numbers of people that they are bringing in to mourn now, and from all over Ireland, from all backgrounds, people are developing an interest in that aspect of our tradition. And there's a big American aspect to it, despite that the Scottish Irish had such a huge influence on the formation of the United States. And then the fact that we have a guy like General Ross from Trevor, who actually was the British soldier who burned the White House. And whenever they were retreating back to the boat, the guy who shot Ross was a Presbyterian from Oma, apparently. So there's a huge connection between the Ulster Scotch and Scotch Irish tradition and the that needs to be told and told in a sympathetic fashion. And I think what the Schomburg have done in Turkey is really impressive. And if there's any way we can help them to develop that family-friendly thing, I think we should really work on it, because there's such potential there. Thank you.
I don't think anybody has any objections to any part of the district or ideas being explored, have they?
Just to say, Chair, we have worked closely with the Schomburg Society in the last few years, and they have been successful in the financial assistance call. So I know with the Reavers event that they're looking to expand it year on year, so we can support that as necessary.
Thank you.
I was going to say, I knew that American King was forever one to a trouble, Henry, but anyway. Councillor Hannah.
Chair, just a couple of questions for Alan. Just on the £195,000 that's in the financial assistance programme, has that increased this year or is it much the same? Second question, you see an item number 6 here on the page for event grant support will be directed through the directorate, and any request for council grant support for 15,000 or over 15,000 will require some to ask for economic proposal. Is there any assistance running to anyone for any groups that you wish to explore, expand, and enter into that? And the last item on it is Halloween and Christmas events. That money has remained pretty much the same for the last 4 or 5 years, so that's not getting a bit of an increase.
Yes, Chair, I suppose the £195,000 for financial assistance has remained the same in total, but what there has been is underspend on that amount in previous financial years. So essentially what we're doing is encouraging groups to max out what's up there. If it's the case that we get more applications than there is a budget, then we will obviously bring that back to members, but if the case a little bit was to sell the amount that's actually spent has been underspent. In terms of we would support groups. Really, point 6 is about if there are groups that are requesting more, and you know, they it's a significant event that what they want to bring into the district, then certainly we will support them if they need to develop an economic impact in terms of advice on that. And then Christmas and Halloween, certainly there are a number of support mechanisms across council for Christmas and Halloween events. One would be through the Christmas Illuminations Group, one is through the Financial Assistance Programme that's open at the moment through major minor festivals, and then one is through what we would provide in this events, tourism events programme. So to date, those groups that put on Christmas and Halloween create funds so successfully for the budget available, but if there's any kind of support that we can provide in terms of marketing or capacity building, we
just on the understanding of 195,000 is that hopefully those scripts are getting the get more money than the 15,000, well, that would be hopefully that the way I've actually used my thought understanding. I'm just on the Christmas and Halloween thing. Most scripts, I don't think you know if you get the £5,000. Well, it hasn't increased. So a wee bit more money doesn't be a bit of harm, John, later.
Then we're
going to
end
our race
for
that.
So it's all for an
extent, but
that's all
we can get. Okay.
I don't know that the handle can bring that up.
That was a question for Oscar.
Fine, hey, if you can bring more detail.
Okay. Glenn, did you want to second the proposal? Yeah, you're happy to second. So that was proposed by Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor Hammer. We have two other councillors that want to speak, Councillor Ambrose and Councillor Emmerich. So then, if there's no one speaking out against this proposal, I think it will be all Councillor Ambrose.
Thank you very much, Chair. First of all, that's a very good paper and very interesting, and it's good to see so much courage are dealing with. In recent, I think a lot of avenues we should be looking at our smaller groups and community organisations, and trying to foster, you know, festivals and the community events that they have. So they look at that too. But also, I think what we need to look at too is the process of a plan for grants and funding from the council. I think I hear from a lot of people that the whole process is like a maze, like an obstacle course to get around. And also the fact is the turnaround and people put in applications and then literally a short time to, you know, they don't even know whether it's the same to get in talking or whatever. But I think that I've raised before, we need to look at simplification and also the fact and turnaround as well.
Okay, and again, Councillor Andrews, there are different funding streams. I mean, the tourism funding stream is the criteria for receiving funding for tourism events is much more complex. For community led events, by and large, they don't apply for this part of money. You know, but the process now is an online process, but your comments are noted. Andy, do you want to add anything else to that?
No, we will take those stuff away, Sharon, and consider that when we deliver the program.
Okay, Councillor Emmerich, and then we'll wrap up this one up for sure.
Thanks, Chairperson. Whilst I was to pick up on what Councillor Wilde said about congratulating staff on coming up with new festivals, I'm just a bit concerned that some of the legacy festivals we've had down through the years haven't been picked up. Picking up on what Councillor Andrews was saying, I know that Dermot and I tried to get funding for the Hourglass Festival. We're talking about seaside towns. A lot of the seaside towns in our area were very important. They're based upon the summer trade. And the summer trade is very important to them, the community festivals in seaside towns really need to be treated as tourism events. I know in Hourglass, for instance, it's been going now over 50 years. It got 40 years worth of funding from legacy councils. I think in the last 4 years, just got 1 year of funding. Similar would be Strangford, Kilock, and other seaside towns where we're talking about small festivals, but they're an integral part of the tourism schedule. We as a council treat them as community festivals. They're not community festivals, they're part of our tourism offering. This Christmas, I think the third time in the last 5 years, the Crown Ships Festival isn't getting funding from our council, and yet it's consistently got funding from our council for the last 7 years. I mean, the Crown Ships Festival was on RTE radio and television last year. It was on Radio Ulster. It was on the BBC. It's a significant tourism event. It doesn't cost very much. Ours consistently supported year after year after year. And we're not supporting it. There's a bit of a blind spot amongst council staff. They don't recognise these important, long-standing festivals as being part of our tourism offering. These are not community festivals. They are part of our tourism infrastructure.
Andy,
do
you just want to make a comment and then we'll move on? Thank you.
Yeah, Chair, we would encourage groups as much as possible to apply to the tourism event. The method through which we can support event promoters and community groups. It's with the events program that tends to be aimed at those events that bring in tourists and economic spend to the district. And there is another scheme available for community festivals as well. So we would encourage groups to look at criteria and to apply. That's the main mechanism of support.
Okay, so we can move on from that. We have a proposer and seconder, and generally I think the report was welcome, and as I say, hopefully as we move forward through our rates meetings, you know, hopefully that budget will be respected. It's certainly delivering a lot. Okay, folks, the next two items, with your indulgence, I'm actually going to switch around. Item 11 is actually an item that is in committee, and then item 12 was the notice of motion. Rather than ask our visitors to leave the chamber and then call them back in and then send them away again, I think we will deal with item 12 now, which is the notice of motion, which was directed to this committee from the full council meeting. I know Councillor Brown is not here. He has asked his party colleague, Councillor McMurray, to bring it forward on his behalf. Can I just make it clear that what happened here, a decision was made by the full council on Monday night, and we have included that so everyone can see the wording of what exactly was agreed on Monday night by full council. We have no power within this committee to change that. That has been agreed. You know, there has been no calling process done, and we can't do anything regarding that just at the moment. So that stands. So I would ask Councillor McMurray to read out the motion as presented by Councillor Brown, and if he wants to discuss it for a few moments, and then we can open it up to the floor for discussion. But you must focus only on the wording of the motion. You can't change what has been already agreed on Monday.
Thank you, Chair. Reading the motion as stated, the plan to note concerns associated with the rollout of 5-year growth in Northern Ireland and undertakes to prepare a comprehensive and detailed report analysing this and benefit of the 5-year rollout within the district, considering all available evidence and information in doing so. It would be possible to include evidence that is independent of government and information in doing so. This report will then be given to the future meeting for members of their stress that reports are published in 5G. I suppose really the main impetus behind the motion is just the risk assessment and the risk benefit analysis that's included by the council that's maybe brought forward. There's a lot of technical detail, I'm sure. I've been in the seat of technical detail, and for as much technical detail as I'm sure there is, so the contrary of 5G, there may also be the technical detail that isn't talked about 5G. So I think it's very important that we are clear about this and it's brought forward in a clear way. The public are quite right to have their respect and the right public concerns and quite sure to have deliberate concerns. One can only be skeptical about these things, given that they are being driven by big corporations and, since the Industrial Revolution, we have been living with issues regarding big corporations driving these things forward. So, that's really my take on this motion is, and I'm happy to propose it to the Chair. Thank you for indulging me.
Henry, could you just put your light out for me for 1 second, and I will call you in first. Just for information and clarity, I don't know if you've all read the papers, but just what was agreed at the council meeting on the first night, and the first paragraph of what was agreed was council officers to review the health impacts of 5G, to seek further guidance from Public Health Authority, CCMS, Ofcom, and any other relevant authority to carry out a comprehensive and detailed report analysing the risks and benefits of 5G rollout within the district. That was actually the first thing that was, that's the first paragraph. So, Henry, you want to comment on this?
Yeah, well, sure. I have no problem seconding. We already had a discussion on this last Monday night. But the more I read on it, and I'm talking to somebody who does come from a science background, who worked in the employed as a scientific officer for a long number of years in the Department of Agriculture, and I do have real concerns. The more scientific documents I read on this, and it does say that Huawei will have a lot of control within this system, and I see that a lot of European states are now actually saying, maybe we could look at this again. Countries like Denmark, Finland, Sweden, very advanced first world countries that are now saying maybe this thing's not in our national interest or to the advantage of our people. And it does say that a lot of the technology associated with 5G is actually about community surveillance and what they do in China, keeping an eye on people and allowing artificial intelligence to operate in certain areas where you wouldn't normally associate it. And it's not just that, in an area very strong in macro beauty like more. These things are really unsightly on the coast part. You have to have one every 250 yards, and they can be the size of a bin that are fit onto a pole or something else. So, is it really what we want? What the DUP, UUP, and I think our councillor from our party said, full fibre broadband. It's innocuous, it's buried under the ground, it's not on the site, we haven't seen it. And that's what we must be aiming for.
Henry, just for clarity as we move forward, Councillor McMurray has said that he wanted to put in an amendment that the motion would have the addition of independent to government added into the wording. Is that correct,
yes,
Councillor McMurray? Councillor Wright, that's...
I thought you said you couldn't amend it.
No, we can't.
We can't.
So you're happy. Are you happy then to second the motion as it stands, Henry?
Yes, I am.
Right.
I understand the technicalities.
Yeah, and it's not a huge distance from what we have agreed anyway, but Lynn, you just indicated that you want to come in.
Sure, I would pretty much agree with Chris already on this, but it's all a question of intelligence. 5G will give us here, I don't know if it'll be a massive benefit to you, do we really need driverless cars driving about? That type of technology, I don't think we need it just at this moment in time. It's possibly in the future. If all impacts to health is considered, then possibly we'll do something, but I honestly don't think at this moment in time we need it.
Okay, and just for clarity, the minutes have actually changed on Monday night, so again, it was ratified today, so just to let you know that is not Public Health Authority, it's Public Health England, okay? So, okay, any other comments, Councillor Clark?
Sure, just to say this was discussed in a bit detail on Monday night, basically. And most of the issues in the motion were part of that. I think that should have been, taken alongside. The motion should have been taken alongside that Monday night. Instead of calling the committee after we take our decision. It's something we're going to be able to look at in the future. And the rest, in regards to the information about the independence of government, I think it has to be here reviewed. I think we did agree that the morning as well, that there would be other pieces of evidence we could look at. But the word at the organisation is the one that the government that will take their decisions on the basis of their advice. It's not a ball matter. The Westminster will be dealing with 5G rollout. Basically, as I said on Monday night as well, this is going to allow us to explore the opportunities in regards to new technology. And we're protecting ourselves and ourselves by looking at the health assessment, but also the environmental impact assessment policy. So we are doing that. And I think that is clearly what the motion is looking to do. So I think we've covered that. And there is concerns in the community, there's concerns in the community about mobile phone masks. I remember there were many a demonstration and we watched them, and got the bus 15 years ago. And I think lots of councillors were going to be doing the same. But technology does move forward. We've got the 2G, 3G, 4G. And there's some of the people who, are opponents of 5G technology, or opponents of them technologies also. So when we talk to young people, and we talk to young people about the future, they're embracing new technology. So we have to take on the views of young people also. I'm certainly not going to be something in the community that is going to damage me, or my family, or my friend, or my constituent. So I think that's serious. So I think we have to, and we're, the party's also having a discussion this the weekend in regards to, there's a couple of motions as they move forward in regards to accreditation. So the party will have a discussion about that also. As I say, I'm content with the motion.
Could I just ask Connor, the director,
come in? Just in relation to the hearing of the motion, Councillor Target was deferred from full council to this committee, so there wasn't an opportunity to bring it back to full council. And the time between full council and this committee is only a week, so there wasn't the time to turn it around for last month's committee meeting, and that's why it's been here tonight.
Okay, and just as you say, thanks for Clark, I'm a mother and a grandmother, and I certainly wouldn't be supporting anything which I felt was going to be detrimental to help my children or grandchildren. I think that's why we have asked for all of the evidence to be produced. Councillor Andrews?
Thanks very much, Chair, and I'm sure that the Nicola Alvarez will have been approached by so many residents in the district with the concerns about 5G and the health issues involved. I think realistically the powers that be, I think from day one, whenever the role of 5G was embedded or whatever, that there should be a better education awareness so that many worries and fears and concerns that have been raised could be addressed and people be better informed, because at the moment, well, as I say, through the council, but it's a mix of the World Health Organisations and others, and I think whenever the general elections come to us, I think our MPs and all should be taking the fight at the Westminster and to highlight 5G, because that's what the president's going to be doing. And I do share and support a lot of the concerns that have been raised, and among any representations that have been made to me in relation to 5G, I will be happy to pass them on and highlighting people's concerns to the relevant departments. But I think, as well as the council, I think we need our MLAs and MPs on board as well, because the more we have working together, fighting for health. To raise health awareness and the headache issues and get them addressed, we need to get that done.
Okay, councillors, as I say, we made a decision at the council meeting on Monday night. This motion was deferred to this committee in accordance with the governance and standing orders of the council. So far, I haven't heard anybody against it. As I say, we did thrash it out fairly well on Monday night and indeed at the previous ERG meeting. Just to keep our records correct, is there anyone speaking out against, gathering all of this information? No? Okay, so we're going to be against the motion.
Yeah,
thanks for that, Peter.
Just for clarity, it's simply as we're just in the talk about on Monday and carry it. Concerns with rural Northern Ireland, concerns carried out comprehensive detailed report. I mean, I'm just thinking in terms of, have the council, for example, we're going to be dependent on other people. The council can merely gather information from sources where it deems necessary, or the proper avenue to go to collect those sources. So, I just really think the word necessity could misinterpret that, the council undertakes to carry out a comprehensive detailed report, analyzing the rest. I don't know what the terms of the publishers deal with this, but the wording of that, because that in the day was carried out, I think it should be worded in a way that, you really go to the particular body things that are charged under government and European law and convention that would hold their information in an impartial manner.
Thanks, Chair. The motion has been presented by a member, not by the officers, so we can't amend the motion, and the motion cannot be amended without being rescinded in accordance with standing orders. So maybe in summing up, Andy may provide more clarity to members on the wording of the motion.
Okay, Andy. We can see that there we discussed this at our previous meeting. We've had the full council. You just need to round up the motion that the concern in front of you in summing up things and tell us exactly what it is or you want that to do.
Well, I think Jan has been made clear that all parties are happy to proceed with the the wording that was presented, and that we bring back some more detailed risk grant analysis regarding the proceeding here. I think we're just all very cognizant of the technology quite developed and quite high power. So, thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, that will come back at a future ERT meeting, and it was pretty much timed in with what the entire council agreed on all units. So, thank you for that. Okay, folks, could I just ask the press and members of the public in the back of the room to leave? Can I have a proposer and a seconder to the committee? Time for Andy to propose. Seconder, Councillor McAteer. Okay, I shall continue the conversation. It was agreed to defer item 11. Until further information has been gathered. Okay, folks, item 13, the planning performance figures, item 14, the business rates review, item 15, the Brexit form, item 16, the ERT business plan, item 17, the ERT start action track sheet, item 18, the scheme of delegation, and item 19, the 5G communications were all items for noting. Nobody indicated prior to the meeting that they wanted to discuss anything, so if you have any further issues, please avail of the officers while they are here, and that concludes tonight's meeting. Thank you very much.